Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
The way I see it, Barry, this should be a very dynamite show.
Can you hear me out there? Can I hear myself out there? That means that people should be able to hear me. And all that cool, funky stuff. This is MSG. And I am guest hosting the Diablo and Giggle Show for this wonderful evening. If you know me, if you're wondering, who the heck is this guy to be filling in for Dave and Giggles? Then I'll tell you who I am. You may not know, but I do another show on this network. And you may know me because I follow this show every other week. I know the gentleman involved with the show normally. And Dave is out this week. Maybe he's doing something for the holiday weekend. I don't know. If he is, good for him. He asked me if I would fill in, and I said, I don't know. And then I said, okay. And the reason I wasn't sure, he didn't tell me that I had to do talk like he does. He said, you can play music, you can do whatever you want. And I appreciated that because... Why? I'll tell you why because. Because as you probably noticed from just the first few seconds of this show, that talking is not really my thing. You would think that a DJ should be good at talking, and most of us are. By us, I mean the DJs here on Radio Free Brooklyn. But my talent is mostly relying in picking and playing music. I do a punk rock show that follows this every other week. Been doing it since the very first week that this show started, or that this radio station started, rather. I am one of the originals. We don't think that we're better in any way, but been doing this for, well, I guess, Morgan, how long have we been doing it? That, for those not familiar with my show, Morgan is my assistant. He is a student at NYU, and Morgan has me feel to be, things are starting up again. It's back to school time. Yeah, I'm sure I'd be looking forward to it also. You know, I know that you're going to be a junior this year. See, Morgan first joined my show. The first assistant that I had was a guy named Don. And Don did not work out. Well, Don was, he was a bit of an asshole. And he was assisting me as sort of penance for being a very poor employee. And it kind of let me vent because when I first started doing the show, it was the first time I'd been on the radio in a long time. I had done a show in college that was similar to the punk rock show that I do now. It was called Vintage Punk. And I didn't name it, Maybe that doesn't sound like a very creative name, but I inherited from somebody else. I thought about maybe changing the name, but I wanted to retain the audience that my friend Drew had built up. He had done the show for years. Probably about 3.5 or 4 years. Because he was the main go-to punk guy. And I had been doing my own show, which I called Music for the Sesame Street Generation, which was, you know, a nod to my generation, the Gen Xers or Zennials, like they're starting to call the subgroup, I guess, the younger of the Gen Xers. I don't know if that's really, I think that they do that just so that we feel a little better about ourselves. So we don't feel quite as old. So we are getting, I don't want to say lumped in with the millennials, but maybe we're sort of more akin to them than, you know, maybe the older Gen Xers are. I mean, I have a lot of friends who are younger than myself. I mean, listening to this kind of music that I do and being part of this sort of DIY punk rock scene that we have going on in Brooklyn here. See, like through the show, I made friends with, you know, some of the bands here, like, you know, Shark Muffin and Ex-Girlfriends, and I know some people from Fruit and Flowers. I know Morgan. Who's the other one that I know? Oh, Parlor Walls. I'm familiar with them. I know them, and you know we're friends on Facebook, which. No, Morgan, I wouldn't say that means we're friends. I'd say that it means we're good acquaintances. We're very friendly acquaintances. We don't see each other that often because we're not really friends, but when we do, we're quite friendly. We communicate through cyberspace, and you know something, that's okay with me. I would prefer to have more friends in my life, but as it is, I have a lot of acquaintances. I don't know if it's my personality, if I have the kind of personality that doesn't bond well with people, or if, well, no, I never really chose to be a loner. You know something? So I'm from Long Island originally. And when I first moved to New York City, I didn't know a single person. You would think that that wouldn't really be the way, but inexplicably, so most of my friends that I knew in high school, they went to college. They went to college elsewhere. You know, a friend who went to college in Philadelphia, another one in Baltimore, and others in various cities across the USA, mostly the Northeast, but the USA. And many of them stayed there. Or some of them went to grad school, and then they stayed wherever that grad school was. And the few who came back ended up leaving anyway. So by the time I actually moved to the city, because, you know, like I commuted for a while, over the time that I was working and commuting, I just saw the few friends I still have. They left one by one. And by the time I was ready to finally realize my dream of moving into Manhattan, they were gone. And I moved to the city without knowing a single person. And I managed to make friends along the way. I guess these were acquaintances also, but closer acquaintances, like, you know, people that I did manage to see every once in a while. And then they moved away. And after that, when I saw like all the friends that I'd made disappear, you know, I also became friends with a lot of people through the downtown open mic scene. By downtown, I'm referring to downtown Manhattan, the things in the Lower East Side and the East Village. And that is actually the scene that spawned this very radio station. For those of you who don't know the background, Tom Tenney and Rob Pritchard were two gentlemen who I knew through the scene. And they eventually formed this radio station. And I'm not going to tell you the whole story about how I came to be involved. Actually, no, I'll tell you because it takes 2 seconds. I heard that they were doing this, and so I pitched a show and I got it. So, yes, that was a very epic story. It made you laugh. It made you cry. So, Morgan, where was I? I was talking about how I didn't know anybody when I moved to the city. And now we have acquaintances. And that's good. The thing about acquaintances are they're far easier to maintain. You don't have to go through any kind of bullshit of... I don't know what bullshit is involved with having actual friends, but it's a lot easier to maintain an acquaintance. You see them every once in a while. You have a good time. You get along great. And then you're off and doing your own thing. And the double edge of that, the other side of that sword, the other side of that double-edged sword that comes back and you try very hard to avoid having it, I don't know, slash your jugular there so that you don't bleed to death. It's harder to meet people. And so we all know. See, Morgan, do you mind if I tell the story of you and Carrie? So Morgan here, he attends NYU. His girlfriend Carrie attends Hunter, but Morgan and Carrie are both from Maine. And the way that they met is kind of a sweet story. So Morgan, I don't know, would you consider yourself a bit of a rebel? Maybe insurgent is nonconformist. That's probably a good way of pronouncing it. You know, that's the way that I was when I was in high school. I mean, like, I did consider myself a rebel, but I tried very hard to be, maybe overly hard to be contrarian. And so Morgan's story was that, you know, he was going to blow off the prom, his senior prom, because, you know, you didn't give a shit, right? Yeah, so, and it's, you know, something for bros. Or for frat boys or the future frat boys, you know, like him. At least that's how Morgan explained it to me, that he saw it. And he thought he would rather spend an evening just going to the nearby city, which was like, what's it, Augusta? Yeah, up in Maine. And going to see a show. I think, you told me about, like there was like a punk rock concert or like, was it? It was a reggae concert. Okay. It's, a lot of crossover in those audiences. So, he had this evening plans. They were going to go to the show. They were going to, find a place to eat, and they were going to stay out all night. Well, instead, two of his friends, Ed and Linda, decided to go to the prom together. And so, then his other friend, Ken, said, well, if they're going, then, you know, I'm going to get a date myself. Morgan was left without, you know, a date or plans for that evening. And, you know, so you asked Carrie out. Yeah. And, Carrie's a very sweet girl, you know. And, she's very shy. So she didn't have a date herself either. And, you know, like, Morgan, the thing that I really admire about you is that you're able to see past the general perception. And it's, because, you know, I'm shy myself. And, like, if you're shy, like, it doesn't necessarily mean some people think that you're stuck up or something. Some people are generally introverted. So Morgan saw through all that. He asked Carrie to the prom and love blossomed. And that's a beautiful thing. Now, let me tell you something about dating. Because, you know, Morgan and Carrie, you know, how long has it been? You know, like, it's been like 2.5 years for you guys. And, you know, beautiful thing, as I said. And I would say, when it comes in human terms of human and social interaction, I like being in a relationship. I like having a girlfriend. I like having sex, which is, you know, always a genuine plus. I hate dating. I fucking hate dating. Dating is the worst. Yeah, I don't know. Who the fuck invented dating? Now, Morgan, you know, somebody had to invent it if you subscribe to the notion that I don't know if there is an almighty God who is the creator. I don't know if there's a God or not, Morgan. There may be not. You know, I'm a skeptical. You know, some people say, like, oh, it's ridiculous to have an idea that there's the invisible man in the sky who controls anything. Well, I believe that if there is a God, that he's not really so much of a controller as a creator. So I'm not going to say, like, oh, he created man. Like, maybe he created the universe or something. Maybe he created the circumstances under which life could form and evolve into human beings. And maybe human beings were somehow instilled with this idea. I mean, all creatures have this instinctive drive to procreate, you know, to regenerate the species. But, well, you know, maybe I'm kind of going out of whack because I was about to say that, you know, animals, they don't fucking date. You know, they just, you know, go at it. But I'm just realizing in my head, you know, that's kind of wrong. You know, I've seen enough BBC documentaries and I don't watch a lot of them. Because as much as I want to appreciate them, they're kind of boring. Yeah, Morgan, I tried sitting through Planet Earth 2. And I just couldn't do it. I mean, even like, you know, I got this ultra high definition television and thought, you know, watching Planet Earth 2, you know, like, it's going to be really awesome with all that scenery. And it's, yeah, it was. But, you know, it's also really boring. So what was the point that I was making, Morgan? Oh, thanks. Yeah, so animals have their own mating rituals. They all have their methods of presenting themselves as alphas, attracting their mates. So, in a sense, they do have dating. And their dating is worse because, you know, like, there are some species that actually kill each other over the shit. So, we don't kill each other, hopefully. Well, you know, like, every now and then there's a little scuffle at a bar over two guys, like, over the same girl. I was once at a bar. And I met this girl who I hit it off with and, you know, got her phone number. And I left to go to the bathroom. And, like, when I came back, some guy was kind of, like, standing in my spot and, you know, didn't relinquish it. But I think that girl had had enough of me at that point because, I mean, I was drunk and I tried to make out with her. Morgan, don't do that. I mean, well, things with you and Carrie are solid. But, you know, don't go for something too soon because you're only going to fuck things up. And that's not the only time. I did that at least like one other time. You know, like, I tried to go for it a little too early. It's like, you know, just, you got the number. Just follow up later. Don't get ahead of yourself. Anyway, so this whole idea of dating. I have a story that I will tell. But I realized, you know, we've gone already about 19 minutes. So let's play a tune. We'll take a little break. You're listening to Dave and Giggles with your guest host, MSG, here on Radio Free Brooklyn. And here is Stump.
The pyramids were in construction. With satisfaction. But then, to his immense surprise, his empire fell before his eyes. 100,000 busy slaves downed their tools and stood and stared. The Red Sea wall stood like a canyon. The Pharaoh pulled up in his wagon. Had been Carlton Heston put his vest on. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, shalt not commit adultery. Boils the size of 50p. Lights, camel, action. Bushes that refuse to burn. See these sandals hardly worn. Raining blood, raining bread. The night we painted Egypt red. Thou shalt not covet, shalt not lie. Thou shalt not bonk your neighbor's wife. The recipe for egg dried lice. 100 ways to kill a fly. Love your daddy, love your money. Put your bread and milk and honey. Loved his fish, he did never beat the wife and kids. Out through deserts, out through sand, until we reach the promised land. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, shalt not commit adultery. Boils the size of 50p. Lights, camel, action, camel. Bushes that refuse to burn. See these sandals hardly worn. Raining blood and raining red. The night we painted Egypt red. Thou shalt not cover, shalt not lie. Thou shalt not bomb thy neighbor's wife.
That was a song by the band Stump, Irish band who were somewhat prominent, maybe not prominent because they were never a huge success, but they were from the late 80s. They had an album called The Fierce Pancake, which I've never heard. I wish I could, but it's very hard to get a hold of. You know, it's not on Spotify or anything. And as you can see, they're very heavily indebted to, I guess, Captain Beefheart stream of pop music. Not that Captain Beefheart is pop music, but as you can see, that's skewed in the same way that Captain Beefheart was. That's how, if Captain Beefheart was more of an indie pop type performer, that might be what it sounded like. And if he had a slight Irish accent. Anyway, I forget the name of the lead singer of that band, Stump, but he sadly passed away about 2 years ago. Anyway, Morgan, we were talking about dating. So here's like what I want to say. Now, I am at the age, so when it comes to dating, you know, I am somewhat ill-equipped. And the reason why, and this is going to make me sound like a bit of a douche, but you know, this is kind of how I may be explaining it. So I've always been an introverted person. And that's why, you know, I can sympathize with, you know, like Morgan and Carrie for, it's like great that they found each other. But I've always been an introvert. You know, when I grew up, I was a very shy kid. And, you know, that continued. And, you know, I was a bit of a nobody, but, you know, sort of person in the background. You know, that kid who kind of sits there. He sits there in the back of the room and doesn't say much. That was me. So not a very charismatic person. Not the sort of person who you might think had a future as a ladies' man, like when he came to teenage years. I mean, like, you know, things didn't really start to turn around for me until, I don't know, maybe the last couple of years I was in college. And, you know, like when I actually, you know, like because I used to be, you know, I used to be thin, like, I don't know, a pipe cleaner. Like a little pipe cleaner man, though. That's basically what I looked like. And when I finally stopped growing up, because, you know, I kept growing until maybe I was, you know, about 19 or so, to the point where I was 6'1", the height I am now. Yes, because I stopped growing. Yes, thank you, Morgan. And I started growing out a little bit, and I wasn't quite as emaciated, and, you know, like, I looked better. And call this narcissistic, but you know, I was told, you know, like, I was a good-looking guy. You know, I'm a handsome man. Like, I was told I was something of a pretty boy. And when I moved to the city. You know, as I was speaking before, you know, like I didn't know anybody. It is hard to meet people. But because, you know, like I was blessed with, you know, good looks, as, you know, as sick as it sounds, or bad as it makes me look. But so they told me. I was approached from time to time. It was easier to meet people. You know, girls would come up to me on occasion. And, you know, like, I'm not going to try to sound like, oh, I'm really cool, like I was kind of a super ladies man. Like I was like, I'm not going to say like, oh, I was knee deep in pussy, I was so great looking. I'm like, no, it wasn't like that at all. It was just, you know, enough to have some semblance of a social life. And so after I turned 30, you know, yeah, Morgan, I think I'd say thank you. I'm holding up pretty well for a guy my age, but like I don't have the fresh face that I used to. And so like the approaches stop for the most part. So I was never really equipped with the social skills to, you know, to be able to like, I don't know, I don't want to say aggressively, but, you know, like to get out there and throw myself out there and meet people. And, you know, dating, it's a really rough game. You know, it's rough out there, Morgan. The whole game sucks, and it is a game. And, you know, something, Morgan, you know, there was like one time, you know, it seems like the whole world is paired up like when you're single, like I am. You know, I was out at the Sidewalk Cafe one time. Sidewalk Cafe, for those not familiar, you may be from out of town, as we are international since we're online. The Sidewalk Cafe is a really, really great place that's over, it's not here in Brooklyn, it's in Manhattan. It's in the East Village of Manhattan, which is really cool. And plus, you know, I love Manhattan. You know, I come here from Manhattan into Brooklyn, which is way easier with the new Second Avenue subway, which you may have heard about on the news. Yeah, that's me. No, Morgan, I didn't build the subway, but I am like part of those people in the neighborhood that are very affected. And, you know, like we had news coverage all over the place when that thing opened up, and it's made my life much easier, and my rent didn't go up that much, and I'm locked in for 2 years. So maybe by then the things will skyrocket, but I should be promoted in my job by then. That's an entirely different story. But so I was at the Sidewalk Cafe. It's a bar and a restaurant and also a performance space. So I was watching a show, seeing a friend of mine, like, who was a musician. And I met this girl there. You know, she knew somebody who I knew. We were sitting at the table and like we were having a conversation, and we hit it off, and she mentioned her boyfriend, and I kind of thought like, okay, well, it's so much for that as a possibility. And I remember I posted, it was like on Twitter, on Facebook, something to the effect of that moment when the girl at the bar you're talking to mentions her boyfriend and you have to pretend you're still interested in what she's saying. Now, most people who are familiar with the irritating game of dating knew what I was talking about. Maybe I didn't explain it that well, but, you know, it was a post. It was a very quick post, and I needed to sum it up quickly. So most of my friends liked the comments. You know, they knew what I was saying. There was one friend who took offense to it. She basically thought that I was saying, once the possibility of sex is removed, then you don't care about the person. That's not what I was saying at all. I was basically saying, you know, I'm just a kid trying to make it in this crazy world. And it's somewhat disillusioning to discover that, see, is like, it's not about the possibility of sex. It's not about getting laid. It's trying to make a connection. And when you discover that the person that you're talking to is off the market, then you know, okay, I'm not going to make the connection with this person. But you can't just immediately frown and walk away. You have to kind of go along with it, act like you're completely fine, that you're not disappointed and get on with your life. So that's all I was saying. So getting out there, you know, the bar scene, quote unquote, you know, it's rough because things like that happen. And I do the online apps. You know, I'm on Tinder and I'm on Happn, which, you know, if you're not familiar with Happn, it's similar to Tinder. The principle is the same. It's the quote unquote chance encounters. Like, you see the people that you cross paths with. And of course, like now, like Match.com, like, they have picked up on that and they have added that as a feature on their own app. But so my success with that is not really great. Yeah, you know, first of all, you know, it's these apps, there's people in these apps. I'm amazed that, you know, they don't always seem to understand that the point of these pictures that you're posting is for people to see what you look like. First of all, you know, when I see a person's photos and the girl, one of her photos is her picture with a guy. And I'm not assuming that, you know, it's like, say, like, you know, like they're dressed up and they're at some events. I'm not operating under the assumption that, oh, she's taking a picture with her brother or just a good friend. I mean, that's obviously the person that she's in a relationship. If that's the case, then why would you post that on a site where you're trying to meet people? I mean, and if you're thinking that, oh, it's okay because, yeah, I'm not dating this guy anymore, but I think I look good in the picture. You know what's something, you know, like, learn how to crop a photo. Or if that's your way of saying that you're off the market and not closing out your account, maybe that's it. But Morgan, like, can you put those things on hold? Okay, well, you don't know because, like, you don't need them. That's sensible. But that befuddles me. And when you're flipping through somebody's pictures, very often you'll see pictures where the girl's like wearing big sunglasses in every photo and you can barely see what the hell she looks like. Sometimes she's standing far away and it's as if they have not seen the picture that they posted and they don't know that what you're looking at is some very tiny blurred attempt to manifest yourself. That didn't make any sense, but you get what I'm trying to say. And there's some pictures where, you know, I like the ones where, like, maybe it's a picture of them, you know, in front of some form of scenery. Like, maybe they're on vacation or they're on a hike or something. And I've seen this a number of times. You know, like, they're standing on the edge of something and you see this beautiful scenery in the background and they're kind of, like, looking out at it. So, like, you either see, like, only a glimpse of their profile or you're just looking at the back of their head. And, you know, what's even worse is, you know, like, the people who post the pictures of their feet on the beach. I think that's less of a thing than it used to be, but it used to be, like, everybody on Facebook was, like, posting pictures of their feet on the beach. If all they're doing is just saying, import some pictures from Facebook, you know what? Take a look at what you're posting. Your feet on the beach doesn't help. Unless, I don't know, like, maybe you're looking for foot fetish people. But, like, wouldn't you think that, don't they have their own site? They should have their own app. You know, like, is there a foot fetish app? I don't know. But, you know, if you're trying to attract those people by posting your feet on the beach, then you know what? God bless. Good for you. I hope you find each other. Anyway. And, you know, I mean, I've literally seen people on Halloween wearing masks. It's like, what are you doing? And, you know, my favorite is when you look through it and there's a person in sunglasses, there's a person standing there's a person standing 50 feet away. There's the group shot. Okay, for fuck's sake, which one are you? Don't you get that? But anyway, my experience with these apps has, like, not been that great. I mean, I met somebody through Happn, and either Happn or Tinder. And you know, she seemed quite attractive. You know, the interaction, emailed back and forth each other, was nice. You know, she had a good sense of humor. And when we met, maybe this makes me sound shallow, but she was significantly older than she appeared in her pictures. And she had no personality. You know, the sense of humor was gone. Who knows? Maybe she handed the phone over to like somebody who could help her, I don't know, appear more engaging. But that didn't work out. But I mean, even that's not as bad as my experience with somebody, which was definitely on Happn, which I will get to after this. This is MSG, filling in for Dave and Giggles, or guest hosting the Dave and Giggles show, and you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. And I alluded to the band Stump, who I played earlier, as sounding somewhat like Captain Beefheart. So here's a little Captain Beefheart. Here is Moonlight on Vermont.
Even Mrs. Wooden Wellis, little nitty. Even Lifeboat floating with his little pistol showing and his little pistol toting. Well, that goes to show you what a moon can do. The Noble Bridge from Tuesday to Friday. Everybody's gone. High society. Hope lost his head and got off on alligators. Somebody's leaving peanuts on the cabins for a white elephant. Escape from the zoo with love. Goes to show you what a moon can do. Moonlight on the mind. Did it for life, boy, and it did it to you, and it did it to Zoo, and it can do it for me, and it can do it for you. Moonlight on Vermont. Give me that. Give me that old time religion. Don't give me no affliction. That old time religion is good enough for me.
Captain Beefheart, who was so named by his friend Frank Zappa because he had a little beef in his heart against the world. No, Morgan, that's not a joke. That's what I read. That comes from the album Trout Mask Replica, which is either an overrated piece of esoteric art or one of the greatest albums of all time. I personally think it's somewhere in the middle. I do kind of like that song. You know, I like some of the earlier, more blues-heavy Captain Beefheart, Magic Man stuff. Like, Morgan, I highly recommend, and everybody out there, I highly recommend listening to Safe as Milk. It's a really great blues rock album. And if you're also looking for here a great blues rock album, another one would be the first Led Zeppelin album. It's, you've heard all like the Zeppelin 4 and the Zeppelin 2 songs and, you know, like Stairway to Heaven, like, and all that shit. I'm not saying it's bad. It's just, you know, like, I've heard all that crap. You know, I grew up with it. Yeah, you couldn't escape it when I was a kid. So, Led Zeppelin 1 has Dazed and Confused. That's probably the best known one, but like, it's a very heavy rock blues album. And, you know, like, one that reminds me of that album would be the second White Stripes album to Style. And that's an even like heavier blues rock album. And this is MSG, by the way, host of Collision Time Revisited, which will be coming up in about 18 minutes from now. I'm filling in for David Giggles. Or if you want to say, I'm guest hosting the Dave and Giggles show. So it's the Dave and Giggles show without either Dave or Giggles. But that's all good. Anyway, I'll be playing some White Stripes from the Desile album. I'll also be playing like a lot of new music. You know, like we got music from Proto Martyr and Daddy Issues. Some other stuff that escapes me. Anyway, Morgan, I was talking about this other experience that I had with Happen. So I matched up with this girl on Happen. I'm not going to say her name, but it starts with, I'm kidding. I don't even remember what the hell her name is. But we were a match. You know, she, you know, wasn't gorgeous or anything. You know, like, she wasn't, you know, she wasn't Meredith Hagner or anything, but, you know, she was cute. I thought, worth meeting. And, you know, a little younger than myself, but, you know, as I mentioned, like, I'm in my 30s, but, you know, she falls under that half her age plus 7 range, so everything is okay. And, what? Hey, Morgan, I don't make the rules. I just cling to them when they serve my purpose. That's all I can do. That's all you could ask of me. So, anyway, we had some conversations and she was very blunt. Her profile said some things like, I'll only meet on the Upper East Side for a first date. If you have roommates, don't contact me. And other sort of blunt, less than sexy comments to put on a profile. But I thought at least, well, you know, she's direct. She knows what she wants. And if that's the way that she is, fine. I'm not saying I'm averse to that. We'll see what she's like in real life as opposed to the cyber life. So we had some more interactions. You know, eventually she just, she messaged me her phone number. So we started texting each other directly instead of contacting each other through the app. And she asked me, she said, is that your actual age? And I was like, yeah, who would claim to be that age? Like, who wasn't? And then she asked me, have you ever been in an arrangement? Morgan, is this a term that you're familiar with? No, I had never heard this either. So I didn't know what she was saying. I just had some continued back and forth interactions with her And it seemed like we were getting to the point where we were about to meet. And since she had said Upper East Side only, Upper East Side is where I live. And I was going to talk about my neighborhood, but you know, like we're approaching the end. You know, like we have less than 15 minutes to go, so maybe we'll check that out. So she said she would only meet on the Upper East Side for her first date. So I said, okay, let's meet at the district Thursday at 7 o'clock. And she said, whoa, hold on. Have you ever been in an arrangement? And as I said before, I didn't know what the hell that meant. So I was only keen to guess it meant, you know, have you met somebody? Have you arranged to meet somebody through, you know, through Tinder or through one of these sites? And I said, you know, if that's what you mean, then yes, I have. And she said no. At this point, she's starting to annoy me, and I'm beginning to care less and less about, you know, meeting this person. Because like I said, you know, like I wasn't overly anxious, you know, like I wasn't dying to meet this person. She just seemed, you know, she seemed pleasant and cute enough that it was worth, you know, that she was worth a meeting. And when it came time to arrange the date, and she asked me again, have you ever been in an arrangement? I didn't know what the hell she was talking about. So, and at this point I'm getting annoyed, and my true sarcastic colors start flying. So I said, yes, when I was born, my parents promised me to the daughter of the Duke and Duchess of East Cornwall. And she immediately responded with, what? So apparently not much of a sense of humor. And I think at that point, that was when I said, if you're saying by arrangement, have I arranged to meet people through, you know, these apps, then yes. And she said, no. An arrangement is, it's a coupling. It's a relationship between a man and a woman. A good connection. Fun times. And financial help for the girl. And I was kind of like, back up on that last part. Like, financial help for the girl? I'm wondering, by financial help, does that mean I pay for the date? Or at least the first date? Because that's fine. But that doesn't seem to be what it is she's talking about. So, as a joke, and Morgan, I can't stress this any further, as a joke, I ask her, what kind of financial help are you talking about? Do you want me to pay your student loan? And she said, yes. And at this point, I'm like, what the hell is going on? And she seemed to catch on by my reaction and said, maybe this isn't the right thing. And I didn't respond to that. I think I was actually, if memory serves, I was at a hockey game at Barclays Center. I was watching the Islanders and I was half paying attention back and forth. So, and I told some of my friends what had transpired. So, but after I got home, I Googled arrangements. I'm like, what the hell is this thing that she's talking about? And a few links came up. I checked out one site, and it was called, I don't know what the hell it was called, but it was like, blah, 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 your site for arrangement dating, girls looking for sugar daddies. Okay, so it's literally, so arrangement is literally gold diggers. You know, I said it, you know. Well, girls looking for sugar daddies, like, that's not even my words. Those are the words from the website. And I responded back finally. I mean, first of all, like I mentioned, this girl's not Meredith Hackner. She's not, you know, she's no goddess. She's kind of cute. And she thinks that just because I'm a little older, I'm going to pay her fucking student loan. How deluded and fucking narcissistic do you have to be? So when I texted her back, I said, I looked up what an arrangement is. There are sites specifically geared towards it. You might want to look into it before you waste anybody else's time. I was a little angry. And I was like, okay, so that's over. And I sure told her, yeah, so, and you don't have to worry about me because I'm going to be just fine. But anyway, since those two incidents, I haven't been very gung-ho about using Happn or Tinder. And I think I probably need to get back into the swing of things because I think it's time. Get over the trauma, MSG. Anyway, is there anything else that I can talk about very briefly? Because we only have a few minutes left. I could talk about the lyrics to Ruby. There's not that much I could say about them. That was just something I thought about for filling in time. But if you want to be shocked, then go to Google and Google the lyrics to Ruby by Kenny Rogers. I think it's either called Ruby or it's called Ruby Don't Take Your Love to Town. I remember my parents listened to Kenny Rogers when I was a kid. And I heard that song all the time, never really paid attention to the lyrics. First of all, I was a kid. Second of all, you know, I wasn't really interested in it. And all I remember the chorus, which was, oh, Ruby. And then you heard the music go, ding, 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 ding. Don't think that's what it sounded like. But the lyrics actually were, oh, Ruby, don't take your love to town. And it turns out, and I discovered this just a couple days ago, the song is about a guy who goes to Vietnam. He comes back paralyzed. His wife leaves him every night, looking for people to have sex with since he's paralyzed and he can't do it anymore. And he thinks that if he could move, he would get his gun and kill her. Morgan, I'm dead serious. That's, I swear to God. Yeah, go look it up. Everybody look up the lyrics to Ruby. Ruby, don't take your love to town. Ruby, for God's sakes, please turn around. Yeah, it's not a very sweet story. Anyway, you know, he recognizes that she has needs. But I know, it's disturbing. I mean, you're like, listen to Coward of the County. It's about a guy whose girlfriend gets gang raped. And, I don't know, it's not clear whether the former coward of the county, who never fought anybody because his father died and said, promise me, son, not to do the things I've done. You know, walk away from trouble when you can. It don't mean you're weak if you turn the other cheek. Son, you gotta understand, you don't have to fight to be a man. And then, so like, it was the Gatlin brothers who gang raped his girl, Becky. No, it doesn't actually. They doesn't actually use the term gang rape, but it said that they took their turn. They all took turns on her. Becky was crying with torn clothes. The coward, who I think is unnamed, he goes find the Gatling boys. One of them punched him in the face. He turned to leave, like his father always told him, or at least so they thought. One of them said, hey, look, oh, Yellow's leaving. Tommy, that's his name. Tommy locked the door, and he either killed them all or he beat them up. And with that pleasantness, I leave you. So stay tuned here on Radio Free Brooklyn for Collision Time Revisited, 2 hours of punk rock. And in the meantime, enjoy the song. This is called Singing of the Bone Saws by Future of the Left.
The music industry is lying to you. It is telling you that you are excited. And you are excited. And you are excited. Or rather, you of confused excitement with the fear of missing out, which is understandable as these two feelings are very closely related. Focusing as they do on the heart and the groin and ending in a bloody mess, pregnancy tests and too little sleep. A survey says that shouting inanities in a regional accent is valuable to culture. Look at EastEnders, Soccer AM, or the Queen's Speech. A survey says paedophiles run the BBC, but look at the alternatives. Drowning men clutching at straws through their bell-end helmets. Sad woman dreaming of being owned by them. The children, eventual despoilers of high streets, clad head to toe in menstrual blood. Screaming sexual insults into bedroom mirrors is a sad belief it will empower them. And it will empower them. And it will empower them. At least that's what it says on my cereal packet. That's what it says on my receipt from the Apple Store. Good Lord. Identify the bloodied bodies of my loved ones. They were killed whilst watching a new television show on the MTV network. One where Kim Kardashian is chased through woodland by a giant bear wearing a mask which carries the visage of recently deceased film director Michael Winner. The bear has apparently not qualified for a workplace pension and is angry with Daniel Day-Lewis for what he perceives to be the relative lack of action in There Will Be Blood, which he otherwise enjoyed but found a little precious for his taste. Anyway, after 20 minutes of panicked running around, intercut with interviews with friends and other celebrities, the production team behind the show all simultaneously come to the same horrifying conclusion. They're wasted the precious gift of life which has been given to them by science. They start attacking themselves with the nearest available objects, breaking off camera tripods to ram them bloodily into each other's eyes, climbing up the highest branches of trees to fall face down onto the pulsing earth, the whole time shrieking and screaming with the sudden primal vigor of lost souls who have forgotten language and seem intent on shouting their black hearts from their gray, semi-erected